Support for Talk Business and Politics is provided by Centennial Bank. Centennial Bank offering commercial loans, personal loans, and home equity lines of credit. With branches across Northeast Arkansas, in person, online at my100bank.com or at 870-268-2300. Centennial Bank is an equal housing lender and member FDIC.
I'm Roby Brock. Welcome to this edition of Talk Business and Politics. Former State Surgeon General Dr. Joe Thompson is still plenty active on a variety of healthcare topics. He remains the CEO of the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement. A recent Kentucky legal ruling has complicated that state's work requirement for Medicaid expansion, a system that was similar to the federally approved Arkansas Works work requirement. Well, how might the Kentucky ruling affect Arkansas? Dr. Thompson and I discuss. Let's begin first with Arkansas Works, the state's Medicaid expansion program, formerly the private option, has this work requirement in it now. And in Kentucky, where they did a similar waiver, the courts have struck that down. Arkansas's governor doesn't think we're going to be widely affected by that, but what's your take?
So there are four states that have been approved by the federal government: Arkansas, Kentucky, Iowa, and Wisconsin, for a work requirement. Our state is the first to implement. Kentucky's was the first to receive approval. They did have a challenge in the district court in D.C., and the judge there faulted the Trump administration for not reviewing the impact on health insurance or health care coverage that's the primary goal of the Medicaid program in lieu of their approval of the work requirement. It is specific to the Kentucky plan, so it does not now affect Arkansas's plan or the other states going forward.
But what about for Arkansas? Our Medicaid expansion program is to provide health insurance, but there is the work requirement or the component to make you search for work or volunteer time or find a job in the process of doing that. Is that not the same philosophical argument there?
I think the judge's ruling in D.C. was more of a technical issue about the review and approval process and what the Trump administration considered. More broadly, there is a philosophical discussion going on in the nation in that Medicaid originally, when it was passed in 1965, was for the disabled and poor women and children. As healthcare has gotten more complex and health insurance costs have gone up, multiple administrations and states have expanded Medicaid up to cover more people. Today, Arkansas Works for a family of four covers people if they're making up to $36,000 a year.
That's household income.
That's household income. Okay. If you line all the households up in the state of Arkansas, the middle household is making $42,000 a year.
So they're not far away.
They're not far away. So there's a real question about how far should public support go, and in turn, what expectations should be made on able-bodied citizens that are receiving that support?
So let's talk about that. So what expectations should be there for as this debate closes this gap right here? Specifically, let's think about it in this context. Let's say that the Kentucky ruling, technical merits aside, let's say Arkansas's provision to provide a work requirement, which made it more conservative and more palatable to some of the Republican votes in the legislature. Let's say that that does get dumped. Arkansas would have to come up with something, I would argue, politically conservative to preserve the program. What would the options be?
Well, we've tried health savings accounts that because the operational challenges there, the legislature did away with after 2 years. I think the challenge in this implementation is going to be whether people are aware of the work requirement, what's required of them, and then operationally how to navigate the system to check the box and maintain their coverage. I do think we're going to have to look at the Medicaid program and social support programs like our Supplemental Nutrition and Assistance Program, the food stamp program. It's had work requirements for years. And so I think we are going to have to figure out in that middle ground of able-bodied individuals who are able to work, what is the expectation of them in exchange for receiving public subsidy?
Let's talk about the universe of recipients that are going to be coming into this work provision, this work requirement. I think it's a stair-stepped approach.
Correct.
There's some different age ranges that implement at different times, but currently there's about an 8,000 universe population out there that I think Thursday was the deadline for them to sign up. Who is in that 8,000? Who's in that universe? Who are they?
So the work requirement is applicable to individuals from 19 to 49 years of age. The state is implementing this year from 30 to 49, and they're doing it in phases. So there were about 27,000 folks that June 1st their clock started on their work requirement. There'll be another 19,000 folks folded in this month. So it's going to roll in ultimately to have potentially up to 60,000 folks subject to the work requirement. You have to come in if you are not exempt. So there are some exemptions, and over half the individuals have exemptions. They're a parent caretaker of a child or a disabled adult. They're in school. They're pregnant. There are reasons that you don't have the work requirement, but a little less than half are subject to the work requirement. They have to come in each month and document either their community service or their 80 hours at a minimum wage in the state, or they get a strike against them. They get three strikes within the year, and then they lose coverage. They can come back in next year, but the work requirement is still in effect. And so basically, you have to be working at least 10 months out of the year to maintain your insurance
coverage. So do you think that universe that we're talking about that is up now for registering and reporting, are they not finding, could they not find jobs? Do they not have internet access? Do they not know how the system works? Is it kind of a lack of education? What do you think is going to be the reason that some of them fall out?
I think there are going to be multiple reasons. And let's just make sure we think about who these people are. These are low-income people. Many don't have transportation. Many don't have computers. Many don't have a cell phone, and for sure not an iPhone. So their digital capability is going to be already different than the majority of Arkansans. They may be working a job, but are not aware that they have to report that they're working on that job or know how to do that. Or they may not be working at all, and they're not even aware that this is an issue. So the state, I think through the department and through the qualified health plans that are doing outreach where these individuals are enrolled, are aggressively trying to seek out and make sure people are aware, as are other advocacy organizations and faith-based and other organizations across the state. But it is a tough job getting tens of thousands of people aware of a new program, understanding a new program, and navigating a digital system on a portal, on a website within 30 or 60 days.
That's Dr. Joe Thompson, CEO of the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement and former Arkansas Surgeon General. You can catch more of our interview online at talkbusiness.net. That's all for today's edition of Talk Business and Politics. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Roby Brock. We'll see you next time.
Talk Business and Politics is sponsored by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com.